A reading from Mark 1. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is a word from the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together.
Father, this morning we remember that your gospel is good news, and it's news that we need to hear. So give us fresh ears and open eyes to see your son Jesus, to see what it is he's done, who it is he is, and what the cross has purchased for us. We need your help this morning. So send your helper, the Holy Spirit, that together we might learn and grow in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
When we talk about the cross, so often we think about sins. But I wonder if that's always the way we need to offer the cross, or at least open the door to the cross. Think about these situations with me. Think about a young man. He's been in hospitals since being born. He spent more time in the hospital than he has in school. A lot of his friends are the doctors that come and see him each day and kids on the ward, but a lot of his friends have died since he's been there. What is the good news of the cross for him? She's lived a full life, very much engaged in community and invested in her family. But now it's gotten to where she can't see well enough to get out. She spends a lot of time mostly sitting around the living room waiting for a phone call. What is the message of the cross for her in her situation? Or he was sexually abused by someone his family trusted. He's lived in shame and silence ever since. When you talk with him and he begins to open up with you, do you begin by "you're a sinner and you need to repent"? Mm-hmm. What is the message of the cross for him? If we think in terms of guilt being those things that we owe because of what we've done, and shame as being those things that we feel because of stuff done with us, does the same cross that deals with our guilt also deal with our shame? Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I not only want to know, I need to know. We get a window into this today through a man afflicted with leprosy, living outside the confines of his community. And in order to understand the risk he took and what he was doing and what it meant, we have to first find out a little bit about his world and his situation. If you go back through the Torah and you look at it, what you see is that the Torah doesn't simply divide the world into good and bad. It's not just a moral slicing of the world. Really, it divides the world into two categories that are much more important than those, or into four categories that are much more important. The categories are unclean, clean, holy, and most holy, or holy, holy. And then lastly is God himself, who is holy, holy, holy. That's the categories that the Torah uses most of the time. And there are things in the Torah that are listed that could separate you because of contact with them. This isn't moral stuff needing forgiveness. This is sickness, decay, and death, and things associated with it that are alien to the eternal God. And so the Torah, for a leper or for someone with any skin disease and for many kinds of sicknesses, gave these two steps in restoration. And they involve, first of all, a priest who would be engaged with a person who's sick to find out, is this person getting better? Is this person now well? When the person is well, they would pronounce them clean. They would bring them into the camp. They would do a ritual that involved two birds, a piece of string, some cedar chips, and some water. And in the process of the cleansing ritual, one of the birds would be splattered with the blood of the other is killed. And this one that's splattered then is set free into an open field and flies away. The person could then stay in the camp, but couldn't yet go into the tent. After a week, sin offering and guilt offering were made, and the person was then brought, and their earlobe, their thumb, and their big toe marked with the blood, and the person then could go into worship in the holy place. Strange rituals. What is this all about? Well, if that wasn't enough, the rabbis added to this. They did a few things that were kind of cruel. They added the categories of things that could make you separate from God. They elaborated on them. And they added rules that increased the suffering of the sick. Basically, everything that would be related to fasting for repentance or mourning over death was added to the life of the person who was sick. They said, you got to do all these things too. What they were doing is they were adding a moral dimension to stuff that wasn't meant to be moral. They were adding a moral dimension to this idea of being unclean. Not only that, but the Pharisees got to the place where they would make sure that lepers stood far away from them, that they'd take out hatred on them, that they would throw stones at lepers and say, stay away from me. I don't want you near me. You'll defile me. Adding shame upon shame and adding a moral dimension to a physical problem, to a neutral problem. The leper was left to live their life as a mourner on their way to their own funeral. And we'd say this is mean and cruel, but then we do the same thing. We assume that a lot of the times that people are living out of the results of their own problems. They're the cause of their own bad situations. That if they had eaten better, worked harder, dressed more modestly, known better, or whatever, they wouldn't have this problem. And now they're dealing with the consequences of their sins. What we do is theological victim blaming.
Yeah.
Not only does this hurt, but it also obscures something that's really true about the world. It obscures the reality of original sin. Original sin, we think of it in terms of, well, original sin means that we're all sinners, we're born with it, and so we sin and we deal with the consequences of it. Well, that's a narrow sliver of it. Original sin really says this. There was an original sin. Adam sinned, and as a result, there is sickness and death and hurt and pain and separation and alienation in the world, and we're all dealing with the fallout of it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
These are two very different things. And what it allows for is it opens this reality that there's stuff related to the fallen condition of this world that isn't moral categories. What they are is just sharp edges from a world that's been torn into. These things are alienating, but they aren't moral. And so this man who's been stigmatized along with being sick, who's been relegated to the backwaters of his community, sees Jesus coming and from far off begins to cry out to him. He may not have ever seen Jesus in person. He may have just heard about him. But he believes that Jesus can help him. And he cries out to him. And this is our first piece that I want us to hear for those of us who are suffering under the weight of shame, is that we can call upon Jesus with courage and hope to be our help, whatever our need is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We can call upon him with courage and with hope, expecting. This man took this risk and called upon him. And he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Amen.
Okay, this is something that the priest could not do. The priest could see if you're clean, but he could not make you clean. He could pronounce you clean, but he couldn't heal you. He's asking of Jesus something that only God could do, and the priesthood and the law was completely unable to do. He's saying he's expecting big stuff from the Savior. I think we talk so much about coming to Christ with our sins, and that requires humility. When we come, we need to be able to say, when we come with our sin, we need to be able to say, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. Okay? When we come with sin.
Teach.
But when we come with our brokenness, we need something different. We need courage to be able to say, I'm hurting, and I need help. And it's the same Jesus, it's the same cross that provides what's necessary, but it's a different way of coming. And it's okay that we approach him in different ways for different needs. But this need requires us to say, Lord, I expect great things of you because you are awesome. And I need help. And that's a wonderful way to come. But it takes courage. It takes courage. You see, We've talked with other people perhaps before about the same problem, and they've winced, or they started to avoid us, or they've blamed us, or they've rejected us, and now we're coming to Jesus. And we think, is he going to help me? Is he going to do the same thing that everyone else has done? He says, if you're willing, and that's how we come also. Lord, if you will. What's in question here isn't Jesus' ability at all. It is his desire. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. And these are my favorite words. And Jesus, moved with compassion.
Yes.
Moved with compassion, a feeling that comes from the innermost being of our Lord. And this is what we find. This is the second thing here. Is in Jesus, we encounter the compassion of God. What does Jesus say? Moved with compassion, he says, I am willing. Be cleansed. When you approach God with that courage to say, I'm broken, I need repair, I'm hurting, I need relief, I need help. When you come to God with those things, you find that he is willing to receive you. It takes that courage to step up and say, this is how I'm broken. This is how I'm hurting. And what you discover is that God wants good for you.
Yeah, he does.
I want you to hear this, because the world seems to tell us otherwise, and circumstances tell us otherwise. And we say, well, if God wanted good for me, why am I hurting? Well, because this broken world has sharp edges on it. That's why we're hurting. And we run into them sometimes, and sometimes they've been pushed into us. And we hurt. And God wants good for us. Where is God when I'm suffering? It seems like he's far away. It seems like it, yeah. But that's an illusion. He's closer than he's ever been before. Sometimes it is only in the midst of it, and only walking out of the shadow, that we recognize how close Jesus has been with us.
Amen.
So Jesus says to this man, I'm willing, be cleansed. And here's the next thing we see, that by faith we receive from Christ the touch that heals us. Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched the man and he was clean. I can only imagine if this guy's thinking, you know, what is the history of basically lepers being clean? Ah, Elisha. He didn't probably have chapter and verse, but he could recognize 1 Kings chapter 5, Elisha was approached by Naaman. And Naaman came all the way from Damascus and said, oh, I need to be cleansed of leprosy. And Elisha didn't even go out of his house to meet the guy. Royalty, you know, the servant to the king. And Elisha didn't go out. He sent his servant and said, tell Naaman go and wash in the Jordan. Naaman got offended by it, you know. Healing by long distance, what? And so probably this guy figured, well, Jesus is powerful. He'll probably just shout something at me. He'll probably just stop over there, and at least hopefully he won't throw any rocks.
Yeah.
And he'll say something helpful that will heal me. But what happened would have shaken him to his shoes. If you can imagine what it's been like month after month to have no human contact. And Jesus touched him.
Amen.
Yeah.
And healed him. he's not only breaking the man's expectations, he's breaking the barriers imposed by Torah. Because since time immemorial, since the time of Moses, everyone knew that contact with the unclean made the clean unclean. But now, in Jesus Christ, it's reversed around, where contact with the clean makes the unclean clean. In other words, one touch from Jesus and you are made clean. You are made acceptable to God. You can come into God's presence.
Teach.
You're no longer far off. You're brought near. And you're made new. I remember when I was a little kid, I got impetigo, is it?
Yes.
Is it skin disease? Oh man, it was so itchy and I would just scratch it, right? I'd be scratching, and finally my parents saw what I was doing. They're like, stop. You know, they took me to the doctor. They got me some antibiotic ointment. And the doctor said, you got to stay out of school. But my parents go to work. So I had to wear long sleeves in the summer, you know, or in the warm weather. And not tell anyone about it. But the cream began to work, and it began to heal. And one day we took that bandage off. And, you know, my arm was fairly tan, but that spot was white. It was pale. It was soft. It was like touching a newborn baby, because it was healed. It was made new. If you can imagine what it was like for this man with his scars to suddenly look at himself and see himself healed and made new. The scars, in a way, had become his identity, but kept you from seeing who he was. And suddenly you can see him as he truly is, as he was truly meant to be. From one touch from Jesus. Paul puts it this way. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. The stuff that you didn't want to talk about has become new. The stuff that you've avoided. Jesus then says to this man, don't tell anyone, which that doesn't go so well. Well, but go to the priest and show him and do what's required. Now, we don't think about this. This guy's in the hillsides around Capernaum, which means he's got like a 60-mile journey to Jerusalem to the priest to show and to make sacrifice. And he's going to run into a lot of people there no matter who he doesn't tell. But there's a couple things that are going to happen when the priest sees this man. Because this man's going to come and going to show the priest what the priest could never do. And this man is going to show the priest what the law could never do. The priest is going to be confronted with the fact there has been a healing here. This person is not who they were. There is a healer, he's going to know, that makes us whole. There is a healer that makes us whole, and his belief is going to be awakened. But there's something else, which is this, that probably this priest has gone up twice a year and served his week in the temple for his whole life, and never one time got to offer the second offering. That offering of the bull and the as a guilt offering and the sin offering, and he's had it done to him, interestingly, but he's never done it to someone who's not a priest. Because probably he's never had someone healed from leprosy come. This law that he's heard all his life, he's going to do for the first time. And it speaks to the fact that there is coming a sacrifice that will make things new. Mm-hmm. There is not only a healer that makes us whole, there is also an offering that makes us clean. It is an offering that was about to take place within 2 years or so of this incident. And that day, that priest may have heard of and may have seen the one who is not only the healer, but also the sacrifice, who came and gave his life to heal us. So is there a sacrifice for us? You know, I read one of my favorite texts, and you hear me quote it all the time, is Isaiah 52 and 53. And I was thinking about it this week, and I was saying, I remember an old song about by his stripes we were healed. And I was thinking about this song. Do you know it? I was thinking about it, and I thought, wait a minute. All those places where it says griefs, there is a marginal reading, sickness. All those places. And I thought, these are these two things. The sickness that we need to be cleansed of and the griefs or the sorrows that we need to be cleansed of, that we need to be healed. They're all here in this sacrifice. And by, we say it so often that we don't even think about it. By his stripes, we were what?
Healed.
He's the one who makes whole. And we use this word all the time. We talk about Jesus saving. We don't think about what it means. It doesn't just mean brought out of hell. It means made whole. It means reconciled. There are these dimensions to the cross that we forget so often. And this is our problem. And this is what is weighing heavily on me this week. This thought that when we think of the cross only in terms of payment for sins, we look at people and we ask, what have they done wrong? Rather than what will make them whole. What stands between God and us is more than just a moral issue. It's more than just stuff that needs apologies. And God's goal for us is much bigger than getting us to admit how rotten we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is about so much more. And we miss it because we take the cross, we take one little sliver of it, and we present it over and over again as though that's the only thing Christ came to do.
Yes.
But Jesus died on the cross so that all of the effects of the fall, sickness, decay, death, part of the curse is that thorns and thistles were to come on the ground. Why did Jesus wear a crown of thorns? He's bearing the curse upon himself, every bit of it, mm-hmm. for us and for the world. All of these things, the sickness, the decay, the death, all of them were dealt with the cross. The cross also deals with the hurt that we have received through the sins of others. Words, actions, stones that have left us with scars and pain and deformity. Jesus bore in his body.
Amen.
And on the cross, Christ secured your forgiveness, yes, and also your cleansing and your healing. And you may have experienced sickness and isolation. You may have experienced hurt when Christ is near you. And where you were degraded or defiled or damaged, Christ died to cleanse you. And when you think about sickness or hurt and you wonder, did I cause it? Did I somehow deserve it? What Jesus says to you is, no, I am willing to be cleansed. Mm-hmm. There is hope in Jesus for untouchables. Some of us have been harmed by touch. It takes more courage for those of us who have to be touched than to be healed. If touch is what has hurt us, we believe that we must be healed before we can be touched. And we're stuck. Because the truth is that we must be touched in order to be healed.
Yeah.
Jesus' touch alone is the one that can heal you if you will trust him and trust him with the places where you hurt most. So often, we spend our time defending our wounds. Don't touch that! Someone's getting close. We're going to block that place. You know, because we've been hurt. You know, it's sort of like your mom coming to take out a splinter. You know. But that's the only way it can be healed, is to trust it into the hands of someone who can take care of it. The only way we'll make progress is to give ourselves away. We've got to be honest with him. We need to tell Jesus those things that we've never told before. And two things happen. You know these first two offerings we talked about that are in the Torah? What is that weirdness about? Birds and cedar and strings? The first offering was to make you clean. It brought you inside the camp, but not inside the holy place. It was two birds. One was killed, its blood splattered the other, and it was set free. And that's Jesus in you. He gave his life so that you could fly free again. But you can't be free unless his blood is upon you. That's the only thing that can set you free. He paid the price for you to be free. The only way you can be is by his blood. But it wasn't enough. He wasn't satisfied to make you free. Mm-hmm. He had so much more for you. And so there's this second offering that took place a week later. It's the one where you brought your sin offering, your guilt offering, and they took it and they put it on your toe, on your thumb, and your earlobe. If you're really attuned to Leviticus, then you know that this was also used for one other ceremony. It was used for the consecration of a priest. It was used for the consecration of someone who was to be brought close to God and into God's service. In other words, Jesus was not satisfied just to make you clean. But when you trust him and you surrender your life to him, he makes you holy. Mm-hmm. He makes you so that you can not just fly free. He wants you to be able to come near. Mm-hmm. That's what he's about. That's what the cross is about. That's what he's doing. That's what he's done for you. He's not satisfied just to leave you clean. He wants to make you holy so that you can be whole and you can be wholly his. That's his goal for you. That's his desire for you. And you come to him and you say, help me. And he says, I'm willing. What do we ask him for? I don't know how many times I've sat down with people who are deeply hurting and they're angry. And I say, well, we talk for a while and we pray. And they say, well, God forgive me for being so angry for, you know, something horrible that someone had done. I'm like, wait! This isn't the time to ask for forgiveness. I have stuff to ask for forgiveness for every day, but this is the time to be able to say, I'm hurting, mm-hmm. please help me. Not I'm sorry that I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. Help me.
Yeah.
And you'll hear him say, I'm willing. Or you can say, I'm lonely. I need you, Lord. And you can hear him say, I'm willing. And you say, I feel lost and rejected. And you'll hear him say, I'm willing. I feel shameful, dirty, defiled. And you'll hear him say, I'm willing. I'll cleanse you and heal you and restore you. I want us to have a bigger picture of the cross. I want us to see all that has been purchased for us in Jesus Christ. I want us also to be a people who are growing in wholeness. That's my heart's desire, but I think it's Jesus's more than mine. And Father, this morning, I thank you that you have loved us with a love that is greater than any we've known. That you have, in love, chased us down and wrapped your arms around us. We need to learn a greater vocabulary. We need to be able to say the best prayer of all. Jesus, help me. And there are some who have never prayed that before who need to this morning. I pray, Father, that you would give us humility to deal with sin, but you would give us courage to deal with hurt. That we would come, that we would draw near, we would meet with you and find that you have not only healed us, you cleansed us and made us holy. In Jesus' name, amen.